Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the show. As the intro stated, there are so many things that we need to do to begin to become aware of the needs of our planet, the needs of the individuals and countries on our planet, and those incredible people that have the vision and the foresight to begin to work in the direction that we need to bring balance to our world. So I'm very delighted to have my very first guest, who is Namrata Arora Singh, who is joining us from Mumbai, India. Namrata is a spiritual ecofeminist, conscious living coach and writer, social change catalyst, and seasoned workshop facilitator with the vision to awaken and galvanize the feminine spirit for a planetary transformation of consciousness. She is the lead for the Charter for Compassion's Environment and Women and Girls sector for India and is the founder of Life Beyond Motherhood and the Zemi Foundation, which means Earth Goddess. And this was begun in, or this means Earth Goddess in Lithuanian. And she is a graduate from, in November of 2018, from change.org. She Creates Change, which is a one-year program for women change makers campaigning for the reduction of plastics in packaging materials. So welcome to the show, Namrata.
Thank you, Elaine. So glad to be here.
Thank you. There is so much to talk about, but I really am so intrigued by the work that you're doing for the women in India, and in particular, the happiness circles and the deep listening that you have become so aware of the need for. Can you share your thoughts about the need for deep listening and then how that led to what you call happiness circles?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things that we have been doing as a part of the Charter for Compassion is to try and tune into our local communities and try and get a sense of what is it that is really needed. And through our discussions with our members, what came to the fore was that we have in our community a really big population of elderly people, and especially women, who we realized were essentially walking by themselves in the park and, were really not socializing much, even in sessions like yoga, etc. And that is something that we felt deeply about. And we just wanted to find a way of reaching out to them, but one-to-one would not make sense. And what we did was we asked them that, would you come to a space that we would like to offer you? And we are hosting happiness circles. And that just lit up their eyes. And we found that, women really resonated with the idea of being in a space. And that was really the beginning of, how it all started.
Well, thank you for that, Namrata. And what I think is so valuable about what you're doing with these happiness circles is, as you had mentioned, so many women that felt like they were walking this life alone. And the older you become, obviously, just because of longevity, you have so many more experiences that need to be shared and then can be brought as grandmothers and elders to help to guide and lead those who are currently going through situations similar, if not identical, to what these women have already gone through. So courtship, motherhood, the challenges of caring for a family, caring for their environment, etc. So how was it, Namrata, that your guest or your participants, how did they learn about what you're doing and how did that begin to change their lives?
Yeah, so interesting that you speak about the isolation, because in the World Economic Forum earlier this year in January at Davos, loneliness was a big subject of discussion, with over 40% of under 25-year-old people as well reporting that they are feeling lonely. So it is a really big epidemic that our society is facing today, and specifically in the elderly group, as you rightly mentioned. They have so much to share, so many rich life experiences, and they're really looking for a safe space where they will not be judged and where they will be okay to be as they are with all their flaws, if you may, because they have reached a state where, you know, some of their regular functioning senses are slowing down and they may not be, you know, very well accepted in many places. So we just started by reaching out to people one to one, you know, just making eye contact with a stranger, people we did not know, and extending a warm smile, saying, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, and this is what we're doing, and would you like to come?" And that is really all it took. And one thing led to the other, and before we knew it, women started saying, "Do you mind if I get along this other person as well, because I think she might also like to be part of such a group?" And we were able to get together a very diverse set of women who hailed from different parts of India, and in fact, even though they were all staying in the same condominium, they did not know each other. So someone was from the south of India, somebody from the west, somebody from the east. Some women had a professional background and some had just moved because they had lost their husbands. So by the time we ended up with having the women in the first circle, we did realize what a rich cross-section of women we had been able to pull together.
Well, you know, that is so wonderful, because as you're saying this, Namrata, and my guest again is Namrata Arora Singh, who is joining us from Mumbai, India. Namrata, what is so important is throughout the globe, women historically have been silenced or have been seen as, you know, not quite as influential as the men, although women always have had such an influence in their families, in their immediate families, but maybe have been silenced in one way or another. That is maybe socioeconomically or because of the male-female relationship that is predominant wherever people might live. So what have you found as these women, Namrata, are coming together, probably at least shyly at first, and then begin to blossom into who they actually are? What have you noticed about that?
Yeah, so, you know, interestingly, when we started off, we were really unsure of, you know, how it would pan out, and would we end up having people fight with each other and have disagreements and, you know, get into ego battles. But what we put in there as an intention was really creating a space which was safe. So we started with a centering exercise just to tune in everyone into themselves. And we also shared circle principles just to set a baseline and to create that safe space, that these are some of the things we would like to follow. So we started using a talking stick, and that ensured that people were not interrupting each other. And as we went along, we introduced various happiness practices, starting with gratitude. Because we threw open the floor for any sharing at any time, we found that a lot of sharing happened at a very deep level. So women started to open up about their lives, about, you know, what are some of the challenges that they were currently facing, right from, you know, not knowing what to do with their will, let's say, and also the fact that they are unable to manage so much work that includes taking care of their grandchildren, etc. And as they started opening up and sharing all of these challenges, we found that there was a growing sense of bonding and connectedness that everyone started feeling, and people started also finding their you know, friends in the group. So we landed up with women pairing up and going out for movies, and, you know, one person encouraging the other to start teaching children in an underprivileged school. And what we also ensured was that we made time to have fun. So we didn't keep the entire, 1.5 hours every week, which was the duration of our and frequency of our meetings. We didn't keep that completely serious. So once a month, we would all meet up for a potluck. So the women would actually cook something and they would get that over. And we would all sit and, have that food. And that was so beautiful because we got to experience different dishes. There were conversations about, different states, different ethnicities, and, what kind of ingredients are typically found or not found and how this taste is different. And, I was so pleasantly surprised to see that over time, the kind of food that started being presented in these potlucks actually shifted into becoming healthier. So there were more salads, there was more oil-free food, there was more sugar-free food. And we had only introduced, conversations about naturopathy and healthy living to them. But because one or two women had been deeply inspired and they had started following certain practices, they were able to share their experiences with everyone else and inspire others to lead healthier lives too.
That is absolutely wonderful. And thank you, because I was going to ask you, what is the duration of time and how often do you meet? And do you do that for a particular length of time, let's say for a month or 2 months, or is it just an ongoing experience that is growing organically?
Yeah, so because we have limited the number of participants to about 18, and on an average, we had 8 to 10 show up every time, we wanted to have enough time to make sure we are doing a centering practice, having a discussion on a key topic, which we would have pre-decided and prepared for, and also ending with a loving kindness prayer from the Vipassana tradition. So in all, we kept 1.5 hours, though I have to say there have been times when the meetings, would just go on because the women would just be having so much fun chatting and, they would still like to hang around and it was all fine. But typically we would meet once a week. We had fixed a day in the week when we would meet and a time that would work for most people. And the duration was 1.5 hours. And when we would have external speakers as special invitees, we would let women know. We have a WhatsApp group through which we would be in touch with them. And those who were not technologically savvy, we would request their daughters or daughters-in-law to be able to communicate to them about various sessions. Mm,
thank you. And I just want to just clarify briefly for those who may not be aware of what you were mentioning by what's called a talking stick, which is when you're in a circle or when you're in a conversation, it's actually a Native American tradition that someone would hold. It could be a feather, it could be a stick, it could be something that is a designation that the individual who is holding that article has the floor, has that time, and no one else is meant to interrupt, to give them the time that they need to articulate whatever it is without interjection from someone else, so that people can really genuinely feel heard, which is so important. So I just wanted to clarify that. And so as you're coming together, are you finding, Namrata, that the voice of the women are spreading beyond just their immediate circle and helping to begin to affect a change where they live or how they're seen in their community?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, women being women, we would do talk about, what's happening, what we're going through. And they have been spreading the word. And we have been getting requests for more people to join in. And because initially we started this out as an experiment, like I said, we did not know how it would be and, what would be the results. We kept the group a closed group. But we started hearing from their daughters and daughters-in-law as feedback that, she's really been looking forward to that day, that one day in the week is something that we talk about all the time, that, okay, next Thursday is when we are going to meet and it is a potluck, so I need to be making this. These are the ingredients. What do you think about it? Should I try it and should I make it and sample it to make sure it's good? And their families have actually shared that it has helped even them to move to healthier lifestyles. In one of the cases, the daughter-in-law came up and gave a testimonial that they have actually switched to all organic food because her mother-in-law has become so conscious about the kind of food that she is eating. Also, the participants, one of them came back and shared that while she had initially anxiety and anger issues because she had recently lost her husband and, was also going through health issues, over time, she has been able to really calm herself down and find ways of dealing with her anxiety in a way that it has been showing up as a much better demeanor for her family. And, she was quite grateful for that.
That's really wonderful because, as you know, we all have emotions that we experience globally. And to be able to communicate our feelings, our thoughts in healthy ways rather than in private or isolated ways really helps everyone in the family begin to understand what we're all as a human species experiencing when we have loss, when we have illness, when we have distress of any kind. So it's so important that that is continuing being shown throughout the entire family. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think also they take back some of the learnings from the circles, even in terms of how to be with each other, how to have that kind of a presence and to invite that kind of a conversation, to provide that space for deep listening, because they have experienced the power of it, and hence they are able to then replicate it in their homes as well.
So again, my guest is Namrata Arora Singh, who is joining us from Mumbai, India. And Namrata is the lead for the Charter for Compassion's environmental and women and girls sector in India, and has really has taken the opportunity and the time to really understand how to be a change maker in our world. So thank you for what you're doing and being the voice for all of women and including men in this as well, because I think that we don't live as isolated beings. We live as women and men together and finding balance in how that can work together well. So, Namrata, what is the age range that you're finding that are in this groups for the happiness circles in particular?
Yes. So when we started, we wanted to start somewhere and we didn't want to leave it totally open. So we said, well, let's have 55 years plus of women and, whoever can come, let's come. Let's not put a cap to it. And at one point in time, our oldest participant was 89 years old. She actually had suffered a hip fracture and she was still recovering from it, but she would still come. And there was one lady who had a hearing issue, but, we were able to repeat what was going on and help her catch up. Eventually, some of those women couldn't continue, but we currently have our oldest member who's 80 years old. And even that is pretty remarkable because, that's really the age variation we have. Having said that, it's so interesting because women can learn from each other at different ages and see themselves out in the future, make decisions about how they should be living their lives now. And that's really the whole point of, raising consciousness when we hold these circles.
Thank you for explaining that. And I would like to ask you, Namrata, what have you learned about this beautiful awareness that you have of what's called deep listening, an unexplored form of healing? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, that has been really my biggest learning, and I am forever grateful to all our women for that. I found that when we are able to offer a safe space, which is basically defined, I think, by a few elements, making it sacred. We have a small candle in the center. We have an incense. But other than the physicality of it, Also creating it to be a psychologically safe space, so we ensure that we are discouraging any judgments or any comments while people are sharing, and creating an environment where women feel they have the space to say what they feel, and they are being heard. That has, you know, really helped. And what I found was that just by way of asking a question, which is what I typically do because, you know, I am also a certified coach, by throwing out a question and helping people sit with it and just allowing them to say what emerges, it really provides that kind of a platform where women are able to just be. And holding that space, not letting go of it till we have taken it to some kind of a conclusion, and the women who are sharing, they feel complete. That has been, I guess, a really invaluable thing that I have learned out of it. So one of the, you know, short stories I had shared also was from this New Zealand's Maori Polynesian culture, where a medical doctor was asked what form of medicine does he use for healing the community. And he had said, well, nothing at all. And what emerged was that they have a practice that whenever someone is going through any kind of an illness, that person is asked to sit in the center and everyone sits around that person, and that person is asked, so what is it that you are not saying? And everyone just listens. They just listen and they hold that space sometimes for days till the person has said everything that is to be said. And they've reported over 96% healing with this method. And I was so deeply touched just, you know, reading about that, which actually I found after I started the Happiness Circle, that I realized that there is really an undiscovered power in creating this kind of a space for deep listening, which I guess many of us need to do more of. It is so needed in today's world.
That's right. You know, when I worked in hospice, Namrata, I found that that was so true, that those individuals who were literally, what there is a phrase that is called failure to die, which means that they're actually struggling with death. Because there often there is a spiritual component, an emotional component of unspoken words, unspoken things that either they haven't forgiven themselves or they haven't forgiven others. And then when they see the futility of anger and the futility of holding it inside, in fact, the damage that can cause from holding it inside, then they can release it. And it's tragic when people wait until their deathbed to do that. But what you're doing is allowing it to be opened so that people can release themselves from whatever it is that they that rumbles through their mind constantly and can keep them angry or hurt or unwell in whatever way. So that's so important. Thank you for having the wisdom to do that and watching that. That's so important. So I would like to ask you, Namrata, about being the founder of Life Beyond Motherhood and the Zemya Foundation. Although we only have a few minutes left, maybe 2.5 minutes, could you tell us briefly about the Life Beyond Motherhood and your foundation?
Yeah, sure. So I started Life Beyond Motherhood after I quit my corporate career and after a fair bit of struggling as to what should I call my new business or, you know, the coaching practice. And one of the things that I came to learn from a coaching session that I was fortunate enough to have access to was that what I would be most credible doing would be something that comes from deep within me, and that is my own gift to the world. And after a lot of thought and introspection, I realized that it was really that whole struggle that I had personally gone through as a mother of trying to balance, you know, my work and my personal life and my home and my child. And I really wanted to give this gift to everyone else. And that was really the origin of Life Beyond Motherhood. Which, you know, has done really well. as an organization. And Jemina Foundation was started just a few months ago to carry on the Charter for Compassion's work, primarily with a focus on spiritual ecofeminism in India. And that is something that, we are currently building.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Namrata, and the work that you are doing. Again, my guest has been Namrata Arora Singh from Mumbai, India. If you would like to learn more about what she's doing, please go to www.charterforcompassion.org.in, which stands for India. And the am I pronouncing that correctly? The Jemina Foundation?
Yeah, Jemina.
Jemina. And what is the website for that, please?
It's jeminafoundation.org.
So that's Zemina Foundation.org, correct?
That's right, yes.
Okay. So thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And I would love in the future to have you back to see how this is expanding throughout the area in India where you live. And I could see this becoming something globally necessary. So thank you so much for your time, Namrata.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Elaine. It was an absolute pleasure to be here. I just want to leave with a quote that one of the most radical things we can do right now is to create context for people to have conversations by Renee Lertzman. So hopefully many of us can do that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is Elaine Grohman for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, a place where we can learn about the things that are needing to happen to help our world and the people who live here be a better place for all.